I want you, for all those who have your Bibles, let's turn right quick to the 1 Kings to the 3rd chapter. And this is about Solomon, when God came to him and spoke to him. And I want to pick up in the 5th verse, because the first four was just talking about Solomon and, you know, the great things that he had done. And it said Solomon loved the Lord in verse 3, and he walked in the statutes and the practices of his father David, and he also sacrificed burnt incense in the high places. But then it gets to verse 5, and it says, when you get there, say amen. Amen. I want everybody to be on one accord. And don't worry about the children. Let them do what they're going to do, because I'm here for the adults and for those who know Jesus and proclaim Jesus, that we got to think about who we are really dealing with when we think about God. Verse 5, it says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. I'm reading from the Amplified, so it's going to read a little different. And God says, ask what I shall give you. Solomon said, you have shown to your servant David, my father, great mercy, loving kindness, according as he has walked before you. You in faithfulness, in righteousness, in uprightness, in heart with you. And you have kept for him this great kindness and steadfast love. And you have given him a son to sit on the throne this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a lad in wisdom and experience. And I know not how to go out, which means to begin, or to come in, which means to finish. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people who cannot be counted for multitude. So give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between God, good and bad. For who is able to judge and rule this great people? And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this, and not ask for long life and riches, nor for the lives of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding and to recognize what is just and right. Behold, I have done as you have asked. I have given you a wise and discerning mind, so that no one before you was your equal, nor shall any rise after you your equal. Let us pray. Eternal Father and our God, we're just so grateful and thankful to be standing in your holy presence, O God. Father, I pray right now that you would hide me behind the cross, O God, that they may hear all of you and none of me, O God, that they may see all of you and none of me. God, I pray that you would open the eyes of their spiritual understanding, O God, that they may see what you want them to see and hear what they want you to hear, O God. And Father, I pray that this word, dear God, will change somebody's life, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if I had to pick a topic, I would say, what I ask of God. What I ask of God. You ever thought about what you ask of God? Because God showed up, which God will show up in some time in your life. One day in your life, if you stay on this Christian walk, God is going to show up in your life. Guaranteed. Because he showed up in my life. But you ever think, what would I ever ask God if he ever showed up in my life? And one thing I like about this is about Solomon, is that it was a dream that came to him. And God said to them, ask what I shall give you in that 5th verse. And Solomon didn't just rattle off his mouth like a lot of us do, you know, because we want this, we want that. We want all these different things, you know, which is nothing wrong with it, but we have to keep things in a proper perspective because we're dealing with God. We're not dealing with just anybody here, amen? And Solomon said, you have shown to your servant, David, my father, great mercy and loving kindness, according as he has walked before you. See, elders, it's a great testimony when your kids can talk about you this way. See, but one thing you have to understand, all of us are in the body of Christ. Some of us are praise and worship. Some of us are preachers. Some of us do everything within the body. But Paul said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And a lot of time we think about, well, I'm in the choir, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. That's just reasonable service for what God has done for you. But where is your service to God? Where is your service to God each and every day of your life? Why should somebody have to ask you to do something when somebody has showed you so much love? We're the body of Christ. Nobody should have to ask us anything. We do it out of love for what he has done for us. He said, your servant. He called his father a servant. David must have walked servanthood in front of his son day after day. And you have to understand, this is after Bathsheba. This is after David fell. And he must have heard David say something about God's love and God's mercy. He must have told him, son, I messed up when I went after your mother. Because Psalm 51 said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies. It's not that you mess up. It's what you're going to ask God after you mess up. How do you come before God? How could a man who took somebody else's wife, got that woman pregnant, and then got her husband killed by the letter that he said that could still go before God and say, have mercy upon me? Because that's what we have to understand, how merciful our God really is. It's time out for people being sin conscious. You need to become God conscious. You were a sinner before he got you. He knew what he was getting when he got you. And you still have the propensity to sin. But he appealed to God. And he said, your servant David, my father, great mercy, loving kindness, according to as he walked before you. How is your walk before God? How are you walking before God each and every day of your life? Are you walking like somebody that had great mercy shown to them? Who somebody who feels his loving kindness each and every day? He said, before you in faithfulness and righteousness and uprightness in heart with you. He's not talking about anybody else. He's talking about a relationship of his father with God. Amen? That's what he's talking about. David walked in truth. In righteousness, in uprightness in heart. That should be the characteristic of every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. He ain't talking about the way you're walking. He's talking about the way you ain't not supposed to walk. And then Solomon goes on and says here, and you kept for him this great kindness and steadfast love, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne today. Verse 7 says, and now, O Lord, my God. See, the switch here became that it was no longer my daddy's God. It was no longer my mother's God. He became my God. You understand? Because mama can bring you to church all she wants. Because mama can believe in God for what he does. Daddy can bring you to church all he wants because he's believing God for what he did. But when are you going to believe in God for yourself? When is the point in your life that you're going to grow up, snap all the whining, all the sniveling, and everything else we do in church and say, God, you are my God, that I can appeal to you for my own self? See, what are you going to ask God? When he shows up in your face, you don't talk about your mother. You don't talk about your father. It's nice if you give the testimony of what God has done in their life. But now he says, listen, for this day, he says, you have kept him greatness, steadfast in love, and you have given him a son to sit on the throne this day. He's thanking God because he knows. See, because Jesus, when he taught that prayer, our Father who art in heaven, all this you see in there is what Jesus said. Adoration. Confession, thanksgiving, and then he starts the supplication. See, the first thing we want to do is get before God and say, I want this, I want this, I want that. All right? And God is saying, what about that walking upright? What about the righteousness you're supposed to be living in? What about the uprightness of your heart? Do you want to talk about that first? Can we talk about that first? Before you have me like an American Santa Claus that thinks you're going to get every time you open up your mouth and say, I want, that you're going to get. It's not going to happen. What are you going to ask God for real? Just look at this and think about this. Here's a young man. He said, now, O Lord, my God, You have made your servant king instead of David. See, now the switch came because, see, he understood of his father's servanthood, and I'm going to follow my father. See, who are you following? Who are you following? Who is speaking into your life? Who is the one that's man or woman enough to say, yeah, I blew it and I blew it badly? But guess what? Now I walk in the ways of the Lord. And if you're going to follow me, this is the way that you have to walk. See, he went, even though he had the title as king. See, that's why these titles is messing the body of Christ up. Because everybody wants a title, but nobody wants to be a servant. Nobody wants to serve in the jail. Nobody wants to serve in the street. Nobody wants to serve in the nursing homes. Nobody wants to serve in the hospitals. That's service too to God. But see, there ain't no glory there. See, they're not calling your name in the prison. Your name ain't on the program of the church list when you're walking in the street. See, servanthood. Servanthood ain't about you. It's about the people that you're serving. It's about the people of your service. See, when you go out to eat, the people that bring your food, they are servants. They are serving you. But see, Solomon got to the point where, see, he was serving God. And that's what we have to get to. Even no matter what we're doing, and no matter what we say, no matter what department you're in, we don't care whether, you know, the Sunday school, the choir, praise and worship team, what about your service to God? What about you ministering for him and ministering to him? All right? And he says, you have made your servant king instead of my father. Now, I am but a lad in wisdom and experience. The problem with the body of Christ today, we think we know it all. We think we know it all. We think we got it all together. See, the time has to come when you get before God and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. You see, because that's when God can use you. When you say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how this is going to work out. See, because that's what God is looking for. He's looking for a man, because he called David a man after God's own heart. And his son must experience the way that his father related to God, because he says, I am but a lad. He is walking in humility. See, because God exalts those who walk in humility. It says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And that's what God is looking for, humble leaders. Yes, you're gifted. Yes, you can sing. Yes, you can preach. Yes, you can teach. But where's your humility before God? Because without him and his spirit, it would never happen in your life. And he self-abased himself. Listen to what he says. I do not know how to go out, which means I don't know how to begin. And I don't even know how to come in. I don't even know how to start this thing, God. And I don't know how to finish this thing. Josh, that could be your prayer too. Amen? That's the way we got to get with God, because that's what he wants. If you're going to ask God something, say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I want to do it, but I don't know what I'm doing. And I need you to help me to do what I'm doing. He said, your servant is in the midst of a great people who you have chosen. A great people who cannot be counted. And the thing with the church is, see, we don't recognize the greatness of God, so we can't recognize the greatness of his people. That's why people are always gossiping about people. That's why people are always talking about people, because you don't see the greatness that God has put in the people's lives around you. But Solomon's seen that. That's why some people pray and you get no results. Why? Because you cancel it out with your mouth. Because of the way that you're talking about people. Solomon recognized that God was great, and the people that you're getting ready for me to take care of, they great too. This ain't chopped meat. The church ain't chopped meat. You are somebody great. You need to stop letting people treat you like that. If you ain't going to let the greatness of God come through you, then all you got to do is blame yourself for everything that happens to you. Because you're allowing people to treat you from less than what God has created you for. And people are talking about you or calling you out of your name, you need to step away from them. If they can't recognize the greatness that is inside of you, because he recognized it. He said that you're a servant. Look at how many times he said you're a servant. In from 6 all the way down to 8, getting ready to go into 9. Your servant is in the midst of your people, a great people. Church, you're in the midst of greatness. And that's the way we have to start acting. If you don't know what your greatness is, ask God, Lord, what is my greatness? The same way he did. Ask God what your greatness is. He said, not only you are great people whom you have chosen. See, it doesn't matter who's in here that you don't like. You didn't choose them. He did. So it don't matter if you don't like him. God didn't ask you, oh, should I choose that one over there? Or maybe should I choose the sister over there? Or should I choose the, but no, he didn't. He sent his son. Jesus did the choosing the day he hung up on that cross. He did the choosing. That's why we got to stop being so picky about church and church folks. Because the reality of it is, without the blood, you just as jacked up as they are. That's right. You just as messed up as the one you talking about without the blood. Without the blood of God covering you, you just as messed up. But he went on to say here, here's the part I like. So give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart. You hear that? An understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people. See, the king is going to judge. See, this is a king talking to the King of Kings. Yeah. And he wanted to make sure, even though I'm the king, that I know you the king of all the kings, and I'm going to make sure I'm right with you. Because I have to judge these people, so therefore when my judgment comes, good, bad, and indifferent, I want to make sure that me and you is okay. See, we worry about too many other people, and we ain't worried about as long as we're all right with him. See, because if you're going to be in a church with pastors like us, we're going to judge you. All right? And sometimes you're not going to like it. Because David, even when he messed up and said, have mercy upon me. According to your loving kindness, your tender mercies, blot out all my transgressions and wash me of my sins. He said, but then he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. Thing of it is, we don't want to acknowledge when we're wrong. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. But then he said, that you may be just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Because David knew, I messed up and God is coming. So don't think just because you do something that the judgment is not coming, because it's already written in. It's not like God is waiting up there for you to make a wrong decision and then I'm going to slap you. No, it's already written in. You read Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses talking about if you do this, you're going to be blessed. 15 on out say you do that, you're going to be cursed. It's already written in there. And God, why is God doing this to me? You done crossed the line, buddy. That's why it's happening. You done crossed the line. You the one that said you believe. You the say I'm going to walk in his commandments. I'm going to walk in his statutes. I'm going to walk in his precepts. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. But you got off the path. That's why he says your rod and your staff comfort me. But they also whack him. See, because the shepherd with the hook, okay, he pulls the ones that come where they're supposed to go, and then he flips it over and whacks the other ones until they get back to the place that they're going to be. But the thing of it is, we don't have to go through that, because the thing of it is what I ask of God. Are you in the place that you're willing to ask of God for what God wants to provide for your life? He says, give me an understanding mind, a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Good and evil's been there from the very beginning. The tree of good and evil. And see what the devil does? He does the same thing he did to Adam, Eve. All the trees in the garden made her look away from all the abundance that God had for her and made her focus on that one tree. And that's what the enemy does to you. And so you need to ask God to give me that understanding mind and this hearing heart that I may discern between good and evil. That's why God never wanted them to touch it, because we don't know how to discern between good and evil without God in your life. Although you do got a conscience and you know what's right and what's wrong. And mama done whacked you a few times for what was wrong, so you should have learned by now. For who is able to judge and rule this great people? He's asking God, who can do this, God? And it says in verse 10 that it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. Now listen to God. Here's God's response. Here's God's response to somebody that asked in faith, number one, somebody who honored and reverenced God, somebody that just wanted to be right with God. All right? Verse 10, he says, and God, in 11, God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for long life, and for riches, nor the lives of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding and to understand what is right and wrong. How many times do we go before God and ask him, God, is this right or is this wrong? And the only reason why we don't is because once we get in the flesh, we're worried about the way that I feel. You're not worried about being right and wrong with God. You're being worried about the way that you feel because you want to satisfy the flesh. But I got news for you. You will never satisfy the flesh. Never, ever, ever. It'll always be one more time. One more time. This is the last time. How many times do you lie to yourself? Self-deception is the worst deception. That's why people in the predicaments they are, because you done deceived your own self into believing that you have control to stop what you're doing. You don't have control. The only person that has control is the Holy Spirit. And the only reason why he has control is when we yield to him, when we hear his voice. But the thing of it is, when am I going to ask God what's right and wrong in my life? When am I going to get to the point where I just want to be so right with you, God, that every decision that I make, I want to make sure I'm on the right track? David, in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, in my bag, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, he got out of the prayers because God said, listen, the reason why I'm going to bless you, okay? Verse 12 says, and behold, I have done as you was asked. I have given you a discerning mind so that no one before you who is equal nor shall rise up after you will be equal to you. All the money Bill Gates got, he wasn't richer than Solomon. Warren Buffett, he can't beat Solomon. So don't let them tell you about all these billionaires that we got here in the U.S. and all that. God said, ain't nobody going to have it more than you, boy, because of what you wear. But you see, you got to understand, we got to get past the point of God. It can't be about the clothes no more. It can't be about the money no more. It can't be about relationships no more. It can't be about the houses, the cars no more. Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things taken together will be added to your life. The reason why there's no addition of the riches in your life is because you're seeking other things before you're seeking God. And the church has to get back to the point where I want to ask God for what you got for me, God. I always tell everybody, I want everything from God. So the day that I get to heaven, he says, Donald, well done, my good and faithful servant. And this is the only thing that you missed, a little bit of box. See, I don't want to get to heaven and be a room full of stuff that God says, this is what I wanted to give you, but because you wasn't walking right, I couldn't give it to you. When I get there, I just want a little bit of thing like that. That's the only thing you missed, boy. That's the only thing you missed. That's what I want. See, I can't speak for nobody else, but I can speak for me. I know what I want. And see, when I read this morning, I'm reading about that, I said, God, tell him to ask me, but you got to ask for what is right. You got to ask for what is right, what's according to the word. It's all yours. It all belongs to you. Jesus paid the price. You are blood-bought sons and daughters of the Most High God. And it says that the Lord loves to do his good pleasures to you. It is his will to give you the kingdom. But you're so far outside of the kingdom, God can't give you nothing. We have to ask, church. We got to ask God. What are you going to ask God? What I ask God? Think about it. What are you asking God for right now? What are you asking God for right now? Is it in line? See, because some people in here, you're getting ready to start new lives. And you're going to need the wisdom of God for what you're about to start. Those who start new businesses or whatever God is going to do in your life, you need to ask God for that understanding mind and that hearing heart, that I might hear him and not the beat of Wall Street, that I might hear him and not the cry of all these other voices that are crying out to me. Solomon knew exactly what God was doing in his life. He knew exactly what God was doing in his life, but he knew the job was so great that I got to hear your voice. And that's the way we got to get, that everything I do in my life is so great because I serve a great God that I got to hear his voice or I can't move. I can't move unless I hear your voice, God. I can't move. So what are you asking God today? I'm going to ask everybody, just close your eyes for a minute. And just think for a minute. What are you asking God today? Or what are you asking for today? Is it going to be something that's going to line you up with God? Is it going to be something that's going to line you up with God? Or something that's going to take you further away from God? See, because the devil will send a limousine if you're crazy enough to get in it. So everything that glitters ain't from God. Every good idea is not a God idea. Because he said the wisdom of God is first pure. Okay? The wisdom of God is pure. That's the first thing that it is. And it's righteous and it's peaceful. What are you asking God for today? What do you need for God? Because, see, God wants to answer your prayer because he's a prayer-answering God. But the thing of it is what are you asking for? Is it in line with his will? What are you asking God for today? He wants you to think about it. He wants you to think, just like Solomon, what are you asking for? What are you asking for besides the riches of this world to make you famous? What are you looking for other than the clothes so people could tell you how well-dressed you are, which is nothing wrong with all that stuff. But what about the kingdom? What are you asking God for about the kingdom, about his kingdom and my life in the kingdom? That's what God is looking for today. God is looking for that today. Or are you even looking for God? See, there's people in here that has just went through great struggles, great things that just happened. You have lost loved ones, might have even lost a job, lost a house, whatever. And God is saying today, come to me. I'm going to fill that void. I'm going to fill that void. See, because the confusion goes away when you hear God's voice. The confusion goes away when you don't know what to do and you know who to go to and who to talk to. See, God is calling somebody from a deep cave today and is saying, come. I got the answers to everything that you're doing. Everything that you need, but all you got to do is ask today.